Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to A Wonderful Approach Radio. I'm your host, Khadija Seven, and I am so glad to be speaking with everyone today, Wednesday. One of the reasons why Wednesdays are always such a relief to get through is because Wednesday is a day where myself and a number of spiritualists been working on me, like my sister says, developing ourselves spiritually, taking care of some of our spiritual obligations, getting that shrine duty together. There's so much that goes into maintaining this spiritual lifestyle, which is honestly maintaining ourselves. We have to work to get back to this natural state because there's so many unnatural things going on in the universe. So we have to work on this and build and grow and develop. And I take Wednesday as my special day to say I am going to put the world behind me for just a moment. I'm going to work on all things that are sweet and special to me. I'm going to allow myself, it rained today, and I kind of sat out there and let my toes get wet and just kind of enjoyed myself for half a second, breathed for a moment. You know, sometimes we as adults don't even take a moment to smell the flowers, literally. We won't take the walks. We won't, you know, sit and have lunch at the pond or anything else like that. My lovely co-host, Mama Khadija, that was with us for an entire year and a half, she would always talk about getting into that soil. So she has soil therapy. For those very special people that I take with me to see my ducks, there's always duck therapy. And this is when I go out with my lovely piece of loaf of bread and I share it with them. And I have a relationship with these ducks. And they are gentle and sweet and loving and walk right on your blanket. And we have a great time. But Wednesdays are that day when you need to find a good centering place. And not only is it a good day to do it, sometimes we have to do it. The world will spin us out of control if we do not stop and say, hey, you're not in control of me, world. I'm not going to spend my entire essence fighting with you. I'm in charge of me, and this is what I'm going to do. So every now and again, you got to flex a little bit on this world and say, hey, you're not in charge. You don't get to say what this is and what that is. And that's what I do every Wednesday. And then, and I love it. I love it. I usually pay for it on Thursday, but no matter what, on Wednesday, I'm in my white. I'm getting my fast done. I'm doing my journaling. I'm doing my praying. And I don't let anything take me out of that mindset. So when I get to the radio, I'm like, hey, family, we are all together in this. It's such an accomplishment. So I hope everyone else out there has enjoyed their Wednesday, has gotten their duties done. If not, the night is young. The night is young. So go ahead and do what you need to do, knowing that after the radio program, we got more to do, because we do. This last week's show was wonderful. I love all the support that I've been getting. I cannot stress enough how incredibly important it is that, you know, everyone listen, tune in, give that feedback, offer the feedback. I've had a number of sisters just come and say, hey, look, I like this and I like that. You know, I have one sister call and say, look, I miss Mama Khadija. I said, I know, I do too. She has to do her work, though. So we have all kinds of feedback. It's an open program. We are all family here. Sometimes the best teachers are the ones that just got off this road. We just left. So, you know, don't hesitate to think, oh, you know, I haven't gotten my teaching certificate yet. Don't worry about that part. If you're here to teach, teach. If you're here to learn, grab your pen and paper like I do every week. And if you are not learning as a teacher, then you're not doing it right. I can tell you that. Every teacher is actively learning as they're going through the process. So, you know, this is how we come together every single week as family, working and building with each other. It's such a blessing. Last week we spoke about spiritual, living in spiritual warfare. And it was such an important show to do. It was not my usual sweet, loving, huggy, bubbly type of This is when we had to sit down, we had to call a spade a spade. And it's so crazy because I had a sister call me today with the same issue. I said, oh, you weren't listening to the radio program. We are actively living in a battle zone. This battle of good and bad, right and wrong. We're actively battling ourselves. This is why we have to go through some of the disciplines of fast. We have to go through the discipline of prayer because the self can be lazy and undisciplined and wild. And so, you know, we have to make sure that we are disciplining ourselves and not falling prey to this negativity that is running amok in our communities. We have some really, really sick people out there. And I believe these sick people are being influenced by negative energy. So not only do we have a person at a diminished capacity, then we're adding negative energy on top of it. And we have mass shootings and we have, just horrible situations and conditions that we are subjecting our spirit to on a daily basis, daily. Trust me, if your light is shining, there are energy and forces that will do all that they can to make it stop shining. And so we spoke last week on just how important it is. Keep that light strong. Keep that energy going. We have to learn how to protect ourselves, our families, our communities. You know, we have to really learn to work on that. I even put a special request out that all angels, all beings of light, all those that are working to develop themselves to being on the positive side of their community, that at least once a week that we go through and say out loud for the benefit of those that do not know, Psalm 91. If everyone needs to have their prayer life for their own personal self. But I'm asking just until the end of the year, let's also reach out and make some additional prayer for someone else. And that was Psalm 91. It is a real request of mine. I'm begging everyone. We've got to start incorporating others in our prayers because there is, unfortunately, a large population of people that don't know the power of prayer. They haven't seen it manifest in their life. They haven't worked through a situation and seen prayer provide that path, that protection, that love, that compassion. They don't have the experience of that. So for those that don't know or can't or haven't learned how, we're going to be making those special prayers and hoping to share our energy and have our energy go out further to others, okay? It's really, really important. If you missed the show, it was a nice show, high-powered. I really want you to go check it out. You can go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. All of the old shows are there. And there are some shows out there where people are like, I need to know what this is. There are a lot of shows out there that get really, really high ratings. And because of the topic, because of the time, I don't know really what it is. But if you ever wanted to go back and check out any of the old shows, that's where they're located, A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. And sometimes we'll post, there's a retreat coming up October 11th. Everyone will be getting their texts about it between tonight and early tomorrow morning. There's also workshops, classes, all that good stuff. That's going to be posted there, too. So, you know, we're all on Facebook for one reason or another. I love cat videos. You know, I love little animal videos or little sassy girls or whatever. So when you're on Facebook, take 2 seconds and check out the Facebook page and see what you can learn. See if you get questions. if you want to offer feedback, but that is definitely a hub place for us. So today's show, which, of course, everything here is spirit-led. If you have listened to one show, you understand what I mean by spirit-led. That means we allow spirit to come and kind of give us that guidance, open up the door, create a window of opportunity for us to speak and discuss certain topics. And this morning, speaking with Mama Khadija, she was like, you know, legacies were close on and heavy on her heart. And we always have different spins on things. So as she said it, it kind of echoed in my brain. And I was like, of course, everything is about me and what I'm doing, what I'm building in my little universe. And I'm like, okay. So she kept talking. She was going on and on. And all I could say was, what legacy am I leaving? You know, what am I actively working on right now? What would be considered part of my legacy? And I had to, and then I kind of zoomed back into the conversation, and it was so, it left such an impact on me, because I don't know if we stop and think about this enough. You know, sometimes, you know, lately, people will think about this maybe financially, okay? Oh, financially, am I secure enough to retire? Do I have enough insurance to get myself a nice burial? You know, I'd like to leave the kids a little something, something. But really, I don't know if we are actively working hard in our legacy, if we are really doing our legacy. And legacy is one of those things is because, of course, it's in hindsight. You know, a legacy is something that you look behind to see. So it's always very interesting as to see what is left behind. What is that aftertaste? What are you leaving, you know? Because I know for me, what my, let's say my grandmother, what my grandmother's legacy to me might be completely different from what it is to my sisters, you know. What my aunt, who just transitioned, what her legacy was to me, I know is different from what my sons received from her. So that's one thing I like about legacy, is that really each and every person gets to apply their vision into it. But, you know, that's also makes it hard for you to kind of plan what your legacy will be. You know, you may sit here and be like, oh, I'd like to leave a legacy of, and I would love to hear some of these legacies. I do. I would love to hear what you would like to be remembered for. That is for all my brave souls that press one. That's what I would love to hear tonight. What would you like your legacy to be? I remember I was working with a couple, and I asked them, what would you like God to, if God were to look at you, what would you like him to see? And this happens to be a very young couple. So they're giving me all these beautiful, young, ideal, you know, answers, you know. Oh, I'd like him to see me working towards world peace, and I want this, and I want that, and it was so beautiful and, you know, and adorable to hear these young people, you know, maybe 30, talk about all the things they would like God to see in them, right? And then I said, okay, that's wonderful. I said, but what are you doing? And they're like, huh? Okay, what are you doing? What are you doing in your life where God could look at you and see those things? You know, so you, if you really want world peace, are you being peaceful in your house? If God were to look at you at any time of the day, would he see how your commitment to peace manifests in your home, in your community? Would it see where you are writing about peace or trying to explain to others how they can be peaceful? Are encouraging them on their way? Or is this just something that you think is going to magically show up one day? And, of course, all of the things they were working for were none of the things that they're actually doing. And it was a big aha for them. But, you know, like I say, I'm always having my pen and paper down. It was a big aha for me because I said, okay, what are you doing? Okay, you have some, I have some ideas. There are some things I would like God to see me do. I want him to see me try and put this effort forward. I would like him to put a little check mark by my name when it says, okay, was a good student today. Check. You know, there are some things that I want him to see. But then I had to stop and think, am I really doing those things? Every day, all day, does my community see me do these things? You know, do my children, who are constant tape recorders, they are recording 24 hours a day. There's not a moment where they are not aware of me and what I'm doing. And they have full expectations for their wives to do this. They have full expectations for their teachers to do this. They are on it. But am I showing them the things that are going to benefit them? So, you know, am I doing the things that I say are important? So when this legacy piece came in, I said, oh, man, God is really talking to me. There are some things I got to get clear. Not have an idea about, clear. What legacy are you leaving? And there's no legacy too great or too small. You know, you cleaning house is an art form, okay? People don't do that anymore. People that have money hire housekeepers, and people that don't have money just kind of live any other kind of way. Cleaning house and that art of caring about every little nook and cranny is a dying art, okay? You may want to leave a legacy in that. I had, I'm going to ask Mama Khadijah to come forward and tell me about this sister. She has a mission, a love mission, okay? And when I heard it, I was blown away. My mouth dropped. I said, what? A woman with this ministry of love? What? I said, does she realize the power of this? Mom, she's like, well, I don't know if she's going that deep. I said, but does she realize how great this is going to be when you connect A and then B together and everything? Well, I don't know if she's thinking like that, Kitty. I said, but do you see how big, you know, I get excited. I get excited by other people's mission because I'm like, man, this mission, this ministry is going to help so many people in such a major way. I was excited. So, and I was like, wow, that's such a legacy to leave such big footprint, you know, for me, because I see bravery as such a key ideal quality to have. When I see people even being brave, it excites me. And sometimes some of these missions, and when I see them, when I see them willing to work in dangerous conditions, when I see them willing to work in negative conditions, when I see people just saying, hey, look, I'm going to stand in this gap for the next one, I'm like, wow, the bravery. You know, are you trying to leave a legacy of bravery? Are you willing, you know, do you realize that's what you're doing? You know, for people that find themselves being caretakers, when they find themselves, you know, caring for others, learning and nurturing others and stuff, and finding jobs in it and doing it regardless of the job. I'm like, wow, do you realize that you have this ministry of nurturing? You know, do you realize that you are bringing the big mama back? You know, and of course, a lot of people, because legacy is hindsight, because a lot of the things that we do, we don't think about how big they are, but someone else can look at it and be like, whoa, you're about to revolutionize this, you know. So I just want to hear tonight, there are a couple of stories that if I get some people to call in that I'd like to pull out, I'd like to pull and get some information. But also, I would like to hear what legacy you would like to leave. And then let's talk about, are you making those steps right now? Because that's so important that we do that. To join the conversation, all you have to do is press 1. That lets me know that you'd like to speak. I really, really, really am excited to hear about what people see kind of in themselves when you're thinking about legacy. Because I can tell you what you might think you're leaving and what I see. Don't be offended, but it might be two different things. So, all right, hold on. Oh, I know this phone number. I know this number by heart. This is our great Mama Khadija. Hey, how you doing?
Greetings, Southern. Greetings, family. I am so blessed in every aspect of life. I'm blessed to be a part of this program. I had the time. I took the time. And I'm blessed that Spirit gave me that whole legacy piece today because it had me thinking, and I'll explain a little bit later what it had me thinking about. But a girlfriend of mine and I were talking last week, and we were talking about the passing of Toni Morrison. And as she was talking to me about her and her writings and whatnot, you know, Spirit said to me, okay, your legacy is the footprint that you leave behind. Now, will your footsteps be in the sand or will it be in concrete? And that just kind of blew me away. That blew me away. Then we started talking about an estate planning class that she went to because she wants to start looking at estate planning because, you know, as you age, as you get up in age, you want to think about these things. So she went to this class. And the estate planner comes out and talks to them, and one of the first things out of his mouth is that you are only one generation from being forgotten. That blew me away. One generation. And then I had to think back to our legacy of our oral tradition as African people. And there are a lot of people that have oral traditions, but as an African, African-American, I'm speaking on behalf of my ancestors who embraced that oral tradition. And it's not because we didn't have the written word. It's so important for our young people and for us to stay connected to our ancestors. Mm-hmm. And throughout continent of Africa, especially I know for a fact in West Africa, from the time a child is very, very young, they start memorizing their lineage. You know, if you go through any type of spiritual initiations and whatnot, you have to learn your spiritual lineage. But many of us don't have those spiritual experiences, so even if we do, we need to learn our biological, our bloodline, as far back as we can take it. So this whole issue of legacy brought that to mind. Now, I had started, but I didn't know how far back I could go. And when I sat down and calculated, my great-great-grandpap, who was born in the early 1800s, my great-great-grandpap, Billy Mews. Then his offspring, my great-grandfather, Andrew Mews. And then my grandfather, Pop Mews, that generation. Then my mother's generation. Then, you know, my generation. And then seventh generation. And then her children's generation. That is seven generations back.
Amen.
Even if you can three generations, go back three generations, have your children, if they can memorize those rap songs, they can memorize the little ones, all the songs, Sesame Street and whatever the kids are watching now, they can memorize those names and tell stories so that they understand, well, my great-grandfather did so-and-so. My great-grandmother did so-and-so. Tell those stories. And we need to create holiday time, our own personalized holidays, where we talk about our personal ancestors, that great-great-grandpap, you know, that great-grandmother, what she did and how she, you know, and that's how we develop that connection. That's how we develop that connection. So and that took me on to something else. Of course, I'm kind of rambling right now, but you said, Seven, that, you know, that the legacy are the things that we leave behind. But to build your legacy, and it's true, to build your legacy, you have to plan and look ahead.
Yes.
That's the difference.
It's so funny. Legacy is something behind us, but it's something we can plan on ahead.
Exactly. So I just as I was going through all these thoughts about the legacy, without even going into my personal legacy, I just want to give our ancestors their props. This is what we have a legacy of. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. We have a legacy of literature, of mathematics, of physics, of education, of music, a legacy in the arts, a legacy of agriculture and farming, a legacy of dance, spirituality, hard work as a legacy, creativity, family, charitable causes. And the reason that charitable causes came up is because I saw a DNA show where Tom Joyner's DNA was pulled up and explained to him, and come to find out, like three generations removed, his great-great-grandfather had some type of scholarship fund or fund for free black people to go to school, to go to college. Now, what is Tom Joyner doing now?
That is part of his legacy.
This is what he came from. And if we went back, everybody can't get their DNA done, but if we went back, we would see that a lot of the same things that we're doing today came from somewhere.
Yes.
We have a legacy of humor. We have a legacy of business, service in the military, masonry, carpentry, all of the skills, the culinary arts, great thinkers, freedom fighters, you name it. And then, of course, all the intangible legacies, the legacy of love and compassion, legacy of strength and faith and hope and courage and stamina and what I call stick-to-itiveness. You know, this is a part of our legacy. So right now, even though I'm not the co-host anymore, I want you to think about that ancestral lineage. I want you to think about, what did your people, what legacy did they leave to you? And what are you doing with it? And don't ever, ever, ever allow anyone to tell our children that our legacy as Africans in America started during slavery.
That's right.
So, legacy, it's a beautiful thing. Last week, the topic was so heavy. You said we weren't going to have any of the, you know, the warm, fuzzy things and all like that. But I wanted to share last week. I'll share this week. Warm and
please.
Fuzzy.
Yes.
My giant.
Warm and fuzzy. Today's a warm fuzzy.
about it.
Okay.
About five sunflowers right now in full bloom that are beautiful. So that's my warm and fuzzy, and that's what I think about legacy.
Okay, that's her soil therapy, okay? That is her soil therapy. Mama Khadijah, before you go, I need you to share maybe two or three things you would like to leave as a legacy to your family. You know, these are things not necessarily that the press would know or anything else. What are two or three things you would like your great-grands to know about you? If you could think of that today, what the great-grand, Solomon's children's children, you know, what do you want them to know about you?
Well, of the intangibles, love, faith, and stick-to-itiveness. And every day, that's a part of my prayer. That's a part of my prayer every single day. Now, of the tangibles, business, that entrepreneurial spirit. Now, that's something that has been passed down. And I know that we are not going to be able, many of us, to leave a physical, tangible legacy that involves wealth working a J-O-B. So we have to have, we got to have that business going. Even if it starts off as a hustle, we have to have and exercise that entrepreneurial spirit. I remember you telling me that when you went to New Orleans, when a wonderful approach took a trip to New Orleans, there were people, it was hot, and there were people outside that were selling like frozen washcloths, cold washcloths.
Yes.
Because everybody needed a sweat rag. And if you're not from that area, think to bring one. So there you bought one.
That's
and
right. That's what it is.
Spirit.
Yes. Yes,
so
it was alive and well. Yes, it was alive and well. And everyone really just went with it. So, you know, and like I'm writing things down because it is, and for all of those that have children, it is the parents' responsibility to teach the children this. These are things that I know about Mama Khadijah, our, you know, growing up with her and everything. But when it comes to what she wants to have as a legacy, it's important that I know what it is she wants the children and the grands and the next generation to know. Who is she? Who was she? You know, my children hear stories all the time, and I want to be able to continue that, you know. So, okay.
Yep.
You have to forgive me. I'm taking notes. Okay. So, well, Mom Khadijah, thank you so much for calling in and sharing. I see you still on fire. That's okay. Look, you can still make requests and shout outs like the co-host. You can still do that. You got honorary dibs on it, okay?
Okay. All right.
So, thanks so much for calling in. That's how awesome is that? How awesome. How awesome. Yeah, this legacy piece, we got to get a clue down. We got to get a clue. I sat down, like I said, after having this conversation about what people wanted God to see in them. You know, that's what legacy is. What do you want the world to see in you? What steps are you taking that you want everyone to be able to reflect upon and be like, but she did this, okay? She was this kind of person. You know, she didn't take no stuff off nobody, whatever it is. We have to really walk this path. And then there's certain things we're going to have to kind of not just walk on, but stomp on, okay? There are some things that have to, that we have individual legacies, and then we have a collective legacy that I hope that we put in place. Collective legacy Like, I think about being second generation in this civil rights movement, and I think about all the sacrifices that those before us made, and I'm like, okay, I can see the legacy of what they did. I can see what was handed down, good and bad, but I can see it. Okay, now this is what we need to do to continue stomping down on this path. You know, a path is not made in the grass by just walking on it once. When you are making a path, you got to constantly walk on it. You got to march on it. You got to, you know, constantly apply that pressure. And then after time, over time, that's when the path is made. So don't think walking on it once, oh, I did say it, and you may have to say it every day. You may have to shout it in the megaphone. You may have to do marches, whatever it takes, to really get a point what your legacy is. One thing I want to share real quick, and I'm going to get to the phone lines. Every Wednesday is Mother's Day. Every Wednesday I spend time understanding this divine feminine. I spend time applying myself in this energy. And I went to the grocery store today, but I forgot something pivotal. I said, daggone it, I got to go back. And there was a Harvey's right there. I don't like Harvey's, okay? That's not my favorite store. But I was like, I'm going to go. So I went, and I've been in this store 25 times. I've walked to this store. That's how many times I've been up to the store. And there was a poster behind some sodas. I mean, it was so hidden and tucked away. And I don't know what drew my attention to it, because I've, like I said, I've been in the store many, many times, have never cared what was on the poster. It's not a sales bullet, or I'm like, who cares? But I literally climbed behind the sodas, not knowing why, and it's a story about Harvey's grocery store. Harvey's grocery stores were started by a woman who, in a room in her house, had started a grocery store, Iris Harvey. 20 years later, her and her then husband moved it out into a location, and now there's Harvey's all over this, I guess what you call this, southeast, you know? But I was like, wait a minute, started by a woman in her home? Did women even run businesses back then? She couldn't move it out. She probably couldn't even move this grocery store out of her house until she had a husband. You know, it probably wouldn't be considered an official business in 1942 unless she had a husband. And then the poster, you see six or seven white men lined up. Not one woman. Not one person of color. But the story is about this woman, Iris Harvey. And I was like, oh, I see how y'all are. I understand. So if you look at this off the top, it's going to look like a very white male organization, and it's not. And so early this morning, the mothers were working with me, and they were like, she had a room in her house. Guess who else has a room in her house? You know what I'm saying? She did this and she did that. I guess that's just the way women have to do things sometimes. They have to make it look a certain way to get it another way. You may have to go around certain things. You may have to make it, you may have to use and partner with this one over here to make it work over there. And I mean, they were speaking so fast. I've been in this grocery store 1,000 times, family. But not until today, on Wednesdays, when I'm draped up in my whites and got all my bells and whistles on, did I climb behind the soda display. And I'm sure they were looking at me like, what is this woman doing? Behind the display to read this poster, which should have been the first thing in the store, but it wasn't. So when it comes to legacies, not only do I think about my own ancestral legacy, I am an advocate and champion for women. And when I see things like this, I don't really care what color you are. If it's a win for me, I'm going to take it. And I'm like, and I just was thinking about, you know, what would it take to do and have business in 1921 in your home, a grocery store. So legacies are, you have to have a certain level of determination when you're talking about your legacy, okay? When we're talking about that path, you can't just stomp on it once. You got to really, really put that thing into the ground. You got to really stomp on it. You got to make sure people know. You may have to stand up against some people, because there may be some people that are saying, hey, I don't want you to have that legacy. I'm looking at that legacy. I want them to remember my name. I don't know why Iris is not in that picture. No headshot, no nothing. But they can't take her name away from it. They can't take what the work that she's done in it, no matter what the picture says, no matter what the outside looks like. So, you know, when you're creating your legacy, when you're thinking about what you're going to do, you have to have that level of determination. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who is trying to even possibly take credit for it, who's doing what. I know what I have to do. You know, that's why a lot of times when people think about legacies and they think about, you know, who they are, they're often God-centered, or they're centered and built on something bigger than ourselves, because you're going to need something big and strong to fight up against some of the things you have to fight against. All right, hold on for a second. We got to get to the phone lines. I love my sister, Omisha, and she's been waiting, holding on so patiently. Hold on. Greetings.
Greetings, family.
How you doing, my sister?
I'm doing fantastic. How are y'all up there in Georgia?
Hot, yes, very hot.
Yes.
I think some of my family in North Carolina and South Carolina are getting the rain beat out of them. But, you know, outside of that, you're going to survive this thing.
I'm telling you, yeah, we're getting the rain. I spoke to Mother Khadija. I said, I don't know what's going on. We're not getting a hurricane, but this rain feels like hurricane rain, but we're not going to speak that.
No.
No.
No, absolutely not. All right, so tell us about that legacy.
You know, okay, listening to you and Mother Khadija talk, I had my own little plan, but it made me think about what I wanted to leave as a legacy. So what I was thinking was of them remembering me for good things that we did. Like, you know, sometimes we sit down together and we talk about, you know, my mom or the father or family, and, you know, we're doing that verbal repeating the family history, you know, who did this, who did that, you know, what kind of job they had. So, you know, we're sort of passing that knowledge back and forth, so refreshing it in our minds so we can always talk about it to our children and to their children and grandchildren as time goes by. But, you know, I would like to be remembered as a person that was caring, that had a heart, that was compassionate, trying to help other people, you know, do things in their life or just talking to somebody, you know, just having a conversation. Like we said, we might not always leave material things behind, but, you know, I have a house, so, you know, that's going to be left behind and to split whichever way they want it to be done. All my good recipes, I'll definitely leave that. Yeah. Can you make that yum yum like Mama used to make? You know, you know, something else. Carrot cake. Corey loves my carrot cake. You know, so things like that I like to leave behind. So basically, you know, the more I think on it, the more things I can do as far as leaving a legacy, but also for me to leave a legacy of being faithful and respecting our religion, respecting God,
mm-hmm.
and showing him that, you know, I'm working, I'm trying, and being obedient each and every day. So, you know, things like that, so they can say, you know, what, you know, have good thoughts about me in years to come.
That's right. That's right. And knowing you, I believe all of those things will be part of your legacy. I don't have any problem with your family and all of those that know you, you know, the extended family, that you won't have a problem with that. I think about, you know, some of our beginning work together when we were, especially when we like first started going to Sapelo, first started doing retreats under Mother Eagle Ministries. You know, me and you have our own legacy together. We have our own history together, and I would add hard working on top of yours. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think there was a challenge that Mama Khadijah had for you that you didn't have an answer for. You know, you always worked hard and represented and worked very fearlessly. And so I would definitely add that to your list. If I get to add anything, you know, how are you going to be adding some to other people's legacy? I don't know. But if I could add one, that would be one that I added to yours. You know?
Okay.
So, All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in and sharing.
Okay. Thank you for the subject. I love it.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, peace. Look,
peace, honey.
I am so excited about this legacy piece. If you'd like to join the conversation, all you have to do is press 1. That lets me know, hey, I'd like to speak. And for those brave people that speak tonight, wonderful. For those that don't speak, no matter where you fall in between, you really, really need to think. This is something I hope everyone takes a moment to think about. I hope everyone takes a moment and thinks about what you want to do, what you want to be leaving for people as part of your name, your word. What do you want people to say about you? How do you want that legacy to be? I had to think, I was sitting here thinking myself, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want your boys to tell others about you? And the reason why I talk about them is because, you know, they're the closest thing to me probably. They'll know me the best after my mother. And just what do you want people to know? And part of my legacy that I hope that I am teaching them and then teaching any and everyone who studies with me, okay? It's the same thing. Children, students, it's the same level of love and nurturing. If there were two things that I could teach, it would be, one would be discipline, not a surprise, and the other one would be a commitment to God. I hope and pray that everyone can see this commitment to God. I hope and pray. I hope and pray that if you don't get anything from me ever, ever again in life, that you can say, I met a sister who was committed to God. This is what she did. This is all she did. You know, she worked so hard to be this God-like teacher. She worked so hard to make sure that we understood you can be committed to God, and no matter what the year is, no matter what the condition is, no matter what, you can always find a way to have that strong commitment to God, you know. And so that is what I hope my legacy is. And I hope that that's what everyone gathers as they come across me, my children, who are a direct reflection of what my legacy looks like when it's walking around, okay? You know, I am my ancestors' legacy. You know, I am my mother's legacy. That is the things that she did, I'm now walking with. I am now the visual representation of this legacy. This is what she left behind. So I'm hoping that this commitment to God can be evident and obvious in everything that I do. Like I said, between my children, books, activities, retreats, no matter what, I want you to be able to see that. I want you to be able to see it clearly, okay? I was speaking to a young lady. Today's Wednesday. I speak to a lot of angels on Wednesday. I spoke with a sister who did not quite understand her legacy. And her ancestry was speaking so loudly. And they were like, please tell her she is the dream. She is what we've been working on. We've been making all these sacrifices for this, her. She's right there. So we're good. We're going to keep pushing. She's uncomfortable with the pushing, but we're going to push her over because this is what we need from her. And it was so, I mean, when she heard that, when she connected, it was everything for her. It was everything. It meant so much and answered all the questions. She began to truly understand where she was, what she was doing, why she was doing some things that she was doing. But the legacy that was implanted in her, that DNA, those bloodlines, those blood ties, those spiritual obligations, they were raging within her. And she was just having a hard time catching up. That happened. When your legacy is so strong, sometimes you can't even control it. I know, like, let's say you come from a big family, and your family comes from a big family, and this is what y'all do. You make babies, you have babies, you take care of babies. This is what we do, okay? Don't be surprised if you have an urge for babies. You know, don't be surprised if you find yourself, man, I'm working in daycare. I'm watching children in my house after hours. I'm doing this. That's part of the legacy. There are times where your legacy, your destiny will take over you, okay? It's like, okay, you're not moving fast enough. We're coming in, and that's what happens. So it's always funny to me to see when someone's destiny is just kind of dragging them down the street, whether they wanted to go or not. But, you know, when you stand up and stop kicking and fighting, you'll be like, okay, I understand now. This is part of what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't have to fight this part right here. But, you know, a lot of us, we fight things that we don't understand. It's not out of disrespect or not, we don't want to. It's just we don't know any better. You know, that's what we've been told to do, fight and kick, so that's what we're doing. But, this sister and her very strong ancestors, when it started to click, it was the most beautiful thing ever. It was so easy for her. And that's what we need to remember and go into when we talk about legacy, is understanding when you get on your path that has been laid for you, it's going to be like, it'll be the easiest thing. It'll be like floating. You know, we have to just get on the path, though, and not fight the path. Not fight the path. So, again, I just want to give all my people opportunity before I start moving on. If you'd like to express yourself, press 1 so I can acknowledge you on the switchboard, you know, so we can understand what these legacies are for, because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at such strong ancestral family listed here that I'm sitting here like I can see the legacy. Do you see the legacy? And this is a part of, as a reader, that we're always kind of referring to, and that is understanding where this person is in relation to their destiny. Destiny and legacy. The legacy is what's left after you have lived the destiny pieces out, you know? And so we have to always be remembering, how are you on your destiny path? Are you lining yourself up to leave the type of legacy that you would like? Mama Khadija didn't get a chance to speak about, I'm going to see if I can grab her, because I really would like her to speak about this sister with this love ministry that she's on. I'm going to see if I can grab her. Hold on for a second. Mama Khadija.
Yes, can you hear me?
I got you. Do you mind speaking? Because this woman just impacted me so. Would you mind speaking about this ministry that I think is just mind-boggling?
Okay. There is a sister out of Ohio, Sister Akani, who is moving to Ghana. She has married a Ghanaian man, and she has a mission / ministry of bringing other people together on that continent to get married every year. Every year. So if you are interested in a marriage on the motherland, if you are interested in taking a tour, if you are interested in finding love, she's not a matchmaker. However, she's doing some matchmaking.
Okay.
Contact me, and I will put you in touch with her. But that is her mission. Every single year, she will host a wedding in probably Accra, Ghana.
I thought that was so amazing and so beautiful, because marriage is something that is, we need to work on that as a people, that's part of the damage that slavery has done with our families, and that we're still really, really reaping, having a lot of difficulties in. And I believe that marriage is the answer to everything. You know, when you start having that union, that God union come together, then everything can heal, it can get better, it can grow, it can do all this stuff. And so to hear this woman, she is committed to walking people through this whole marriage process. And then the idea of African Americans marrying Africans, and I'm like, wow, you know, there's so much healing that's needed. You know, Africa is not a perfect place. It's not. They got quite a few issues over there. African Americans, we got quite a few issues over here. But I truly believe that union together is going to create so much healing in both sets of ancestors and in the children moving forward, that it gave me chills when she told me that. Oh, my goodness. It's such a wonderful legacy. It's such a wonderful ministry. Like I said, marriage is difficult. It is difficult. But to be committed to assisting those in that, that's a legacy. And I don't even think she's thinking about that. She's thinking, I want to have a wedding every year. And I'm like, but do you understand the repercussions? This is so beautiful. So, yes, Mama Khadija, thank you so much for sharing that. And are you going to continue? Mama Khadija?
Oh, no. I'll share later.
Okay, she's going to share later. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that piece right there. Like I said, I was blown away. I love to hear people being brave, because that's some brave stuff right there. That's brave to say, I'm sitting here and I'm going to be committed, not just in my marriage, but in other people's marriage. Oh, that's some brave stuff right there. That is legacy building right there. I wish that sister all the luck in the world. Blessings to all the unions that come from just her sticking her neck out to say, hey, I believe in marriage, and I believe this marriage can be positive in this way. Oh, I was so thrilled. So thrilled. So, yes, Mama Khadija, thank you so much. I got a caller that I need to grab. Let's see. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Alafia, peace.
Alafia, how you doing, sister?
I'm good. This is Unique.
All right.
Yeah, I'm creeping at work.
Legacy, ma'am.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, Mama Khadija, you had me at marriage in Ghana. I was like, whoop, one. Let me press that button real quick. I was like, ooh, get married in Ghana. Ooh, let me press that.
Okay,
that's
that,
my legacy right there.
That can
seem
kind of magical. Okay.
It is. That is beautiful. It sounds like a commercial. I was like, oh, let me press one. So I can get in there real quick. I'm on that plane.
Yes, ma'am.
But,
yes, ma'am.
But,
all of that beautiful stuff.
I know. As far as legacies are concerned, I have been listening, and it's crazy because I was listening at the beginning of the show, and then I was stumped, and I was like, well, wow, because I'm thinking. I'm like, oh, what is my legacy? And then earlier today, I was thinking about my grandmother because somebody saw something. It was like, who is that? I said, that's my grandmother. And, you know, and I was talking about all the things that she used to do and the things that she, you know, taught me and the things that her mother used to do and then her mother used to do. And then I started thinking, I was like, wait a minute. It's my destiny. It's like in my blood to do, you know, to care and to be able to, you know, do things in the community and, you know, to look out for my sisters and different things like that. That was just passed on to me. And those are the things that I want to pass on to, you know, my children's children's children, you know, and and not just the ones that are in my bloodline, but in my community. You know, myself, I don't have any biological children, but I have hundreds of children, you know, that I've come in contact with throughout my life that are part of me, my godchildren, that are just a part of me. And, you know, one thing they'll tell you, they always say peace, and they know why. They were like, why we say peace? Because when you come, I want you to know I come in peace. You know, so at least they know that it's a calm spirit and it's a pleasure to be in each other's presence just with saying peace. You know, so, you know, and they know I beatbox too. So that's one of the things, you know, that we do, that we do with each other. I told them, I said, at my funeral, somebody better be singing and somebody better be beatboxing. And they was like, yes, we already know, you know, but it's just those little things that make a difference in somebody's life. Even if it's just a smile or, you know, just those little things that you pass on to children, that they pass on to their friends, that those people pass on to the next person. That's a legacy. And it's not always necessarily. Yeah, because it's like it's our bloodline, but our human bloodline. You know, so and I'm and I'm looking forward to growing in my destiny and learning more. So I'll be able to add more onto that legacy part the more that I indulge with my ancestors and learn from them. So I just wanted to share and thank you again.
We appreciate
love
that. We appreciate that. Thank you, sis. Love you too. Awesome. Awesome. Now I learned something new. She's a beatboxer. Didn't know. You know, those 80s babies, you can't never trust them. You know what I'm saying? But we have to always, always, always be thinking about that legacy that we are going to pass on. Because you're passing on something, whether you're aware of it or not. That's something that I think that we don't think enough about in our community. Because when we start talking about legacy, people will immediately start to think of death. And I'm like, the two are not related, okay? They can be close, but they're not related because there are many people that die but don't have positive legacies. So just dying is not enough, okay? This is something that you have to actually be doing while you are living. You have to be sharing and working towards this. And whatever legacy you have to start putting those things in place now. Don't wait. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? If you know who you want to be, if God has, for most people that live a spiritual understanding, God tells you who you are. You know, you've been told either someone has prophesied to you, some, you know, you have had a dream, you know, you've read a book and it connected you so deep that you had gotten lost in the book. You know, most of us have an idea as to who we are already, okay? Now, the question is, are you going to be who God has created you to be? Or are you going to be who this world has created you to be? And really, I need people to understand what this world makes you to be only fits this world. Who God made you to be, that is your spirit. That is forever. That's the higher goal. Go with that goal. Go with that goal. You know, we have to begin to work harder at our God goals and not so much in these world goals, because the world changes. It changes. It'll change up on you in 2 seconds. Things that are cool now will not be cool in the future. Things that you thought were like a crime and a sin are going to be as common as same-sex marriages. They will be common. You know, things that you never even heard of, never thought of, are going to be commonplace. And I will never forget when former President Barack Obama got into office. I was there, my mom, I think we were at my aunt's house, Solomon was there, you know, the whole, we had three generations right there, three generations of understanding, not of age, but of understanding. And my aunt sat there, you know, she had voted for Barack, she had went out, she had done all this and done all that, but she said, I never thought I would see a black president, you know, and that was part of her brain. Her brain was acquiring new information because with the information it had prior to, she couldn't imagine. So, you know, that was something that in her lifetime was changed. So that's why we can't base everything off of this lifetime, because things change. And I remember, as, you know, he's going across the stage and he's smiling, his wife is there and his children are there. And then Solomon says to me, he said, wow, you mean I can date a president's daughter? And I looked at him, I'm thinking about the Bush girls. I said, I'm thinking about, you can't date. And I was like, well, no, I guess you can. And when he said president's daughter, I went straight towards those Bush girls. And then over to Chelsea Clinton, I said, oh, no, you can't date none of them, you know. But here was a different situation, and so it expanded my mind and expanded my thinking. So there's so many things now that are going to expand you that we can't base our legacy on just this worldly understanding that we see right now. We have to base it on something higher, because there will always be expanding who we are. You know, there was a time where there wasn't, where spirituality was entwined in religious understanding. There wasn't a place where you could pull and say, I want to get to this essence of spirituality. You could be a spiritual Christian. You could be a spiritual Muslim. There are all different types of sects and understandings that had spirituality as a focal point, but you still had to have a religious understanding. But now through the expansion, because we've expanded our thought, we've expanded our practices, now we can say, okay, this core here that is generating of spirituality, I can just deal with that directly. I can do that. So it is. So there is always this expansion going on. So when it comes to what you're basing your legacy and your destiny off of, make sure that your goals are high enough to accommodate this stretching. You know, don't be afraid maybe every 5 years to, I know even myself, I'm in this process of defining and redefining who you are at this moment. Who are you? What are the goals? What are the plans? How are you going to be moving forward from here? And so all of this, I am expanding who I am. So even my goals and my destinies and the legacies that I wish to leave are still constantly evolving. And so I hope everyone is evolving, evolving in spirit, evolving in understanding and mental capacity and all of those things as we begin to intentionally put down our legacy, as we intentionally, every time we have a new little spirit that's on its way coming through in South Carolina. And every time these new beings come through the portal and they come to this realm of understanding, I think about the responsibility that the community has on this new being. I think about the accountabilities that we have for this new being. And I think about the legacies that hopefully this new being will have the benefit of. Everything that we do, the generation after us should have a benefit. That's what we need. You know, when I think about the ancestors of the sister earlier that were literally dancing, literally, I'm like, man, if we can get ancestors to dance and to be that happy for us, we got to work hard. Come on now. When I think about my ancestors and the intentional sacrifices that they made for me individually, and sometimes you got to make it personal. You know, we can say it's us, and we can say, you know, we can act like we're getting from this big pool of information. We can. But there are times where I have to make it personal to me so that I can understand not only did I receive it personally, I have to give it personally. You know, I can't just be like, oh, somebody will take care of that. Sweetheart, that somebody is you. Get to it. That someone is you. You are the winner today. So I want to make sure that I am doing all that I can to make myself worthy of such, to make myself deserving of such, to make sure that my legacy is actually doing what I want it to do. You know what I'm saying? This idea of discipline, I want to be known as a disciplined person, but not a hard ass. You know, so it's kind of like if I know right now that I want the memory to be disciplined, not hard ass, I might have to make some changes and adjustments. You know, this is about being honest. I keep telling you, we talk about the toolbox. We talk about, you know, honesty. I'm big on honesty. We talk about transparency. Even in your legacy, you have to be honest. You have to be transparent. You have to understand some things about yourself. You know, I want to show a commitment, being committed to God, what that looks like. I don't want that to be translated as radical. You see what I'm saying? So when you're thinking about your legacy and you're thinking about how you want it received, you also have to turn around and sit back and look and say, am I doing this though? You know, this is what I want. I want people to know this. I want people to do this. But are people really going to get it if I keep doing it this way? Is that what they're going to receive? So when it comes to a legacy, not only do I want to leave you with the homework assignment of finding out what is your legacy, finding out what you do for God, what do you do intentionally for your community, what do you do intentionally do for your family? That is a sacrifice for you. You know, so not only do I want people to think about what their legacy is in their brain, I also want them to take a second to look at what this legacy may look like to other people. Are you really leaving behind what you say you're leaving behind? Or is that a fancy word for something else? You know, what is the difference between being steadfast and being stubborn? And are you clear that what you're doing is steadfastness and not stubbornness? So I'm always going to challenge you, always. I'm always going to challenge you because I'm always challenging myself to really have that transparency of self, to truly, truly be honest with yourself. Because when we're honest, especially with ourselves, then we can make good decisions. Then we can say, nope, I have looked at it with both eyes, and this is exactly what I want to do, and this is how it's being delivered, okay? So as we're doing our homework, and this is a real homework assignment, and I hope this is one of those homework assignments that you'll fold up and put on your ancestor shrine. I really do. I hope this is one of those pieces of paper that you keep close to you for your meditation. So when you're saying, hey, am I leaving this legacy? Is this a high legacy for me to leave? Or did I pick a legacy of not smoking and I don't smoke? You know, am I picking a legacy of staying out of jail when going to jail is not a positive thing? You know, so I really, really want people, don't pick easy things just so you can get the little check mark. Do the hard work. If it takes you 1 month to achieve your legacy goal, you need to dig a little deeper, okay? Really. This a legacy goal is something that might take you the lifetime, and it's okay because that's part of what you're doing and what you're working on. So right here, my favorite part of the whole show is the prayer part, and prayer has many different formats. We've had some chanting on the line. We have had some songs. We have had a number of different languages and represented in prayer. It is absolutely awesome. Today, because Spirit has had me in such a way, I feel as if almost my spirit has been back in time for maybe the past 3 or 4 days, and I'm hoping before by the end of today that my spirit will come kind of catch back up into 2019, because I've been kind of stuck about 1850. And so in 1850 was not a comfortable year. I don't think it was a comfortable year for anybody. So I really, really am hoping that I can pull out of this, that spirit has taught me everything I need to know in that time frame for right this moment, and it will let me move forward. But right now, I'm not forward. Right now, I am very much in that time. The spirit is ever very present. I had a couple of old ancestors really just riding me for the past couple of days. Mama Khadija has this little baby doll called Little Mama. That's a royal mess, okay? This little baby doll, I mean, it's just this energy has been so strong. These ancestors, they want to be heard. They want to be recognized. And the best thing that you can do for your ancestors is to live a full life. The best thing you can do. This is why they make the sacrifices, so that you don't have to, so you can go and live your life. The best thing you can do, if you want to show them how much you appreciate them, you want to show, live your life. Live it unapologetically. Get bold in yourself, okay? So these are the types of things. So this particular day, usually there's a prayer right here, but this poem has been, like, really, really just, like, in me, on me. And so we're going to do this, Still I Rise, by Maya Angelou, and I need everybody to hope and pray that this energy can go, and I can get back to 2019, okay? It's not a prayer, but it's prayerful. It really is. Okay, so it goes, you may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may tread on me in the very dirt, but still like dust I rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Because I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tide. Just like hopes springing high, still I'll rise. Do you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, because I laugh like I got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear. I rise into a daybreak that's wondrously clear. I rise, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. Amen.